All right, what's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of Ism Radio. I am your host. I am Mr. Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Today's show is brought to you by AshKicking.com. Are you ashy than a motherfucker? Get that thing taken care of. You should not be walking around here looking like a runaway goddamn slave, like you done crawled through the Underground Railroad for your freedom by the hands and knees. Get your AshKicking.com ointments, lotions, and shea butters at AshKicking.com. Also, you want to get your credit game up? Check out CreditScoreHeroes.com. It's tax season. Don't be out here fucking around with your money. Get your tax money up. Get your credit game together. Go to TaxScoreHeroes.com, ladies and gentlemen. Now, also, today's show is also brought to you by the new Indiegogo campaign for the Ism Radio reality travel show. We got the Indiegogo page popping now. If you're looking at us live on YouTube, there's a link right below. Me and my lovely lady co-host, we're going to be traveling all around the country, chopping up game with everybody, showing off different black businesses around the United States, and I want you guys to get involved with that. And speaking of my lovely co-host, we have over here Miss Layla in the house. How are you, Layla?
I'm good. I'm sick. So yes. When you said lovely, I had to put on my shades because I was like, it's a bad day.
And
I'm working through it.
You're working through it. She came in anyway. And over here we got Miss Bree. How are you, Bree?
Hi, I'm sick too. so bear with us today.
Yes, indeed.
It's been 40 degrees in California for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, so. Man, it's hot one day and then it's freezing the next. It's hot in the daytime and cold at night. So the weather's real trippy out here. But we got a very special guest in the house, man. We got my brother who's been in the comedy game for a minute, man. I've been on his show with Joe Williams and the lovely Darlene. This brother is a legend in the comedy game. This brother is one of the most well-respected comedians in the comedy game. One of the last of the dying breed, I would say, because you don't have comedians like this who are just raw with it and they still have a thorough audience and they're still doing big things. Give it up for Mr. Corey Holcomb, everybody.
Hey, what's up? I take chlamydia medicine and doing nothing wrong.
Man. So, man, what's been happening with you, Corey? And talk directly into the mic, brother.
Oh, man, it's, you know, this is a cold game, man. The good outweigh the bad, but, you know, sometimes the busters infiltrate, and, you know, you just got to handle it. However you got to handle it.
Yes, indeed.
So I'm going to be all right.
So how's everything? Because there was a big controversy going on with the whole thing with Ari Spears. All right. There's a big controversy over that. How is that working out now?
I don't know. It's like in this whole, I ain't never been exposed to people coming at you because I guess people think I got some so they can get it. So now, you know, busters like Ari Spears are trying to find ways to act like I did something to him. But, you know, what can I say? He did something to himself, and there's a lot of evidence that he does a lot of things to himself if you just check the internet on different shows he's been on.
Yeah.
I think the mistake I made was thinking I'm that dude so I could hold it down. If somebody is drama, you should probably steer clear of them.
Bro, are you guys talking in code?
I know. I'm like, what happened?
Yeah, they were on his show with Joe Williams. Ari Spears came on, and he's another comedian. And Ari's he looked like he was drunk. He was in there drinking, and you know, it was getting a little reckless. And he started talking a little slick to Joe, and it was like some low key threats there. And I'm trying to be neutral as possible, just
because
I
feel like this was a while ago.
Yeah, it was about a year. Was it a year ago, Corey?
About that.
I feel like I saw some clips of that.
And then Zoe, you know, kind of touched him a little bit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah. And from what I understand, Ari went to them folks. Yeah. And that's, you know, people feel a certain way about that, you know.
He was embarrassed. He let Zoe beat him up. I look at Zoe like the little homie, too. That's why I was laughing.
Yeah, because it takes a lot to get Zoe there. Zoe's the nicest dude in the world, you know? You dig? But
I ain't trying to leave you hanging, man. Yeah.
Yes, you are.
You know Zoe is the homie. Zoe is the homie. Zoe is cool.
Zoe is nice.
Yeah.
Right. That was so forced.
Let me just put that out there.
So is good for. That's my dude, man.
That's my dude, man. I'm just talking great.
So, you know, I saw something the other day, man. I saw that Jerry Springer clip of you and D-Ray on Jerry Springer back in the 90s, which is the funniest shit ever. It's the funniest shit. It was a stud. It was a stud trying to fight Corey on there. It was he was clowning it. It was hilarious. When did you get in the comedy game, Corey?
I got in the comedy game professionally around about 92.
Okay. What made you say, you know, let me get up on that stage? What was your first time getting up on stage in Chicago? Was it in Chicago?
Yeah. I did the talent show in college.
Okay.
And I rocked it, except I cracked a fat joke, and one of the judges was fat. So I found out the politics of the game, but I always knew I could do it.
Yeah.
So once the eligibility with basketball ran out, I just started doing comedy.
No doubt. Now, you know, there's a whole big thing now with Monique. Everybody, a lot of comedians are talking about the thing she's dealing with Netflix. There's some people who are riding with her. There were some people who were saying that she was kind of out of line. Some people said that the etiquette of her talking about people's business, like Tony Rock said, it's bad etiquette to talk about how much somebody's making. So there's a lot of split hairs going on. What's your position? What do you think about Monique's stance on Netflix?
The homegirl who's my co-host on the show, Darlene, she has a profound statement. It's called Check the Pedigree.
Mm.
And I'm here to tell you, Monique burned a lot of bridges.
Mm.
And now that she didn't get what she want, because, you know, we don't stay up high forever.
Right.
You're on your way down, she's just not going down. She's going down trying to pull everybody down with it, if you ask me.
Mm.
Because, I mean, Netflix is just like all the rest of these big companies. They're going to do what they do.
Right, right.
It's really hard to beat them out because it's they radio, it's they network, it's right. they airwaves. So she going out with a bang trying to act like, oh, they doing me wrong. But the truth is, you know, this is just my opinion.
Right, of course. Of course.
Monique has never done anything profound.
Mm.
She's been part of TV shows and the Queens of Comedy. She was part of that.
Right.
But the thing that made me laugh Monique did was when she was on stage doing the with all the fat girls doing Beyonce thing. Yeah, that was the funniest thing I ever seen her do. I was like, okay, that was funny to watch the big girls.
That was funny. What was that, like BET or something like that?
It's Dare the Heart Attack. You know what I mean? But other than that, you know, when you out here, even if you get opportunities, people are watching.
Absolutely.
And if you're not really that, if you're not really the one, it's going to show later on once the heat die down.
Mm.
And I don't like the fact that she talked about this dude named Will Packer, the one that put in that Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Will Packer helped a lot of people out. In fact, he put Tiffany Haddish in a movie, and we see where that led to for her. Tiffany Haddish's career skyrocketed.
She blew up, man.
You know, you can't burn all the bridges down when you know what I'm saying?
Have you worked with Monique before or been on the road with her before?
Nah, comedians wouldn't have me on the road with them, Tariq, because they want to shine. And that ain't just the comedy game. In this entertainment business, if you want to shine, a lot of times people won't have talented people around them.
Yeah.
They surround themselves around people that won't outshine them.
Right.
So, but I did the Shaq All-Star Comedy Jam where she was the host. You know, it was a couple of her friends on the show, so they were set up in strategic positions to go up and do well. Like, you know, when you on a comedy show, you don't want to go first, you don't want to go second.
Mm.
Well, I was second.
Now, why don't people want to go second? I understand not going first.
Some people don't want to break the ice of a show. They want to be that dude where the show is getting going and people are waiting for the blow-up to happen. So they had me go up second, and I wound up headlining the DVD.
Oh, damn. You just outshined all of them.
But people don't know that because it's edited. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But on that Shaq All-Star Comedy Jam, I was the second act that went up. But they had me headlining because there wasn't nothing left when I got off.
Oh, wow. Damn.
And
wow.
I don't like to brag, but I was proud of that moment.
Yeah.
I was proud of that moment. That's
who all was on that one? Because I think I remember
Paul
that.
Paul Mooney,
okay.
Mike Epps. Mike Epps wasn't on the DVD.
Wow.
But he went up.
They took him off? But then, wow. Wow.
I love him.
My guest performed that night. George Wilborn.
Yeah.
I'm forgetting somebody else that is significant who's on the DVD.
How's Paul doing now?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I always try to show him respect. It's just when I first met Paul, he shook my hand and held it. And I was caught off guard. I was like, wait, did that happen?
For how many seconds? How many seconds did he hold it?
He held it long enough where he wanted to make eye contact. Like, hold on, Paul, what you doing, man?
Hey.
And I was new out here, too. I was like, I ain't about to burn it.
No.
I'm going to give him that pass. Just like when Sidney Poitier winked at me on the plane one day.
Word? Oh. Hilarious.
I just played it off like, oh, that's that old man wink. I hope.
I didn't heard the same shit about Quincy Jones, too.
Oh, yeah. He out there outing everybody. Yeah.
Oh, he sure did.
Yeah. Like, I didn't heard.
He boo-boo boy byproducts.
Oh, no. Where is this going?
He broke up with Tevin when he got too old.
Man.
I'm joking with you.
Man. So, what do you think about Tiffany Haddish, man? I like Tiffany Haddish. I think she. Have you worked with her?
Yeah, I work with her. Her story is the perfect story of what could happen out here in Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She's a female comic, out here doing her thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden you get that one break. All it takes is that one thing to blow you up.
Yeah.
So I'm so happy for Tiffany. I told her she needs to marry one of these old Jews with money.
Because
she was cute. You know, she wasn't like the average female comedian.
Yeah, she was cute. Yeah.
I don't know why men be tripping. You don't know why? Are you serious? You don't know why? I told Tiffany, you cute. You better get some money from one of these fools.
Yeah, because a lot of female comedians aren't, you know, as cute as Tiffany. Yeah,
she got a Netflix deal. Did y'all hear about that?
Yeah, I heard. Yeah, she's on fire right now.
She's on fire.
She's killing it.
Knock them dead, Tiffany.
Yeah.
Now, female comics act like they don't know why they got male problems. Well, it ain't just female comics. A lot of people don't act like they know why they got problems, and that's what my
comedy
kicks in.
We don't know.
I mean, I look like Eazy-E today, but normally I'm cute.
Y'all ain't busted. I'm just saying, it's some comics.
We got problems, though.
They can't fix it, no matter what they do. Like, even if they had a contract with Noxzema and Cover Girl would be like, look, it's only so much we can do.
What's the prettiest comic besides Tiffany Haddish?
Yeah.
What's the prettiest comedian? I'm trying to think of another one, but I really can't.
There's a couple of them that's unknown that you find out here in these little towns, and they're trying to make it.
Yeah. Hmm.
I be having like an extra $200-$300. I give them their little start.
They trick off a little something to get them popping.
You can't turn that money down. Some of these little towns, $300 is like $3,000.
You dig? You dig?
They be like, you're not going to tell nobody. Tell nobody it's you.
You dig? Man, what comedy spots in L.A. are popping now? I just heard about the J spot. That's J. Anthony Brown spot down in Manchester, right?
Yeah.
What other spots are popping out in L.A. now?
I don't know, man. I stand in front of clubs. I'm one of them dudes.
Yeah. You always
like,
see
you
in front of
the club. Remember that night I seen you at the improv?
Yeah.
I just standing outside. I don't even really go.
You don't go in?
I watch people walking out. I love to see the miserable couples fighting on the way to the car.
Hilarious.
Oh, my gosh.
Big wannabe ballers hopping in Uber. I love that. I just watch it all. I be like, so you ordered the compact, huh?
That's funny.
Now, you know, in the 90s, you know, there was a big comedy explosion. What do you think caused it to kind of go down? You don't have that black comedy explosion. It kind of died down. What make you think it died down?
It was new.
Okay, just because it was new with Def Jam and all that?
Def Jam was something that people weren't used to seeing. And, you know, back in the day, it was the talent scout was Bob Sumner. And if I'm going to be honest, he went out and they picked some funny people.
Mm-hmm.
But then Comic View came along, and funny wasn't a prerequisite. They just was grabbing guys.
Yeah.
So it kind of made the game full of dirty water. You know what I mean? Just a whole bunch of when it's a whole bunch of busters doing something, man, it interferes with what everybody's doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that doesn't just, I'm not just saying that with comedy. If it's a whole lot of runway models, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
The ones that ain't really the ones that stand out.
Yeah.
You know, they messed the game up.
Yeah, go ahead.
I feel like I don't remember Comic View being bad. Like, I remember seeing good comics.
It was,
or was it edited down to the cream of the crop?
Well, yeah, they would get a bunch of people who just really memorized 3 or 4 minutes of funny material, and you know, just threw them on up there.
Right,
but that's all they had.
Them being
yeah,
like
that's
legit.
All they had was
or
that those
or
5 minutes.
Watch what the other guys did, and you know, they have auditions in a town, and they might be connected or whatever. That when we stopped really going out looking for talent, we messed up a lot of things. But there are some people who stand out. Well, when you see them, you know right away. It's this guy named Freddie Ricks. Like, when you go to New York, you see a lot of comedians imitating these little characters and everything.
Yeah.
But then when you see Freddie Ricks, you be like, that's where they got that from.
They get it from one dude.
It's the real talent.
Yeah.
Don't look for talent no more. They look for content.
Is there a problem still with comedians stealing jokes now?
Of course, because there's not a lot of talent.
Because I knew back in the day that was a big no-no. You didn't steal no jokes. No fuckers in the comedy game whoop your ass from what I heard. If you stole jokes.
You get your ass whooped for stealing a joke.
For whooping telling the joke.
Robin Harris used to pull that gun out on him.
Damn.
Oh, damn.
Robin Harris wasn't no joke. All that hee-hee on stage. You get off stage. Let me tell you something, partner. So, you know, yeah.
Man.
He wasn't known for praying on the weak, but if you try him,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
It was on and popping.
Yeah.
Man. What projects do you have going on now as far as any television stuff?
No television stuff going on right now, but Black Jesus is getting ready to come out.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of it. Like, the stuff we did, we made the best of it. Me, Big Slink.
Yeah.
The homegirl, Dominique. You know, because Charlie wasn't there. Charlie Murphy.
Yeah.
It was a little weird that first couple of weeks.
I can imagine.
Once we got it jumping, So,
did you work with Charlie a lot?
I work with him mainly on Black Jesus.
Okay.
But he was one of the most solid dudes I ever met in my life.
Yeah.
One of the people who 100.
Yeah, I've always heard Charlie was a stand-up dude. Did you hear about the story of him getting into it with TK?
Yeah. But they don't shock me. It don't shock me. I watch people when I'm around them, Tariq. And,
yeah.
Charlie was thorough.
Yeah.
I ain't see no nonsense come from him in no way. So that felt good.
Yeah. Out in Chicago, man, what's the comedy game like out there? There's a lot of good comics that come out of Chicago. You, D-Ray, Adele Gibbons, a whole bunch of good folks out of Chicago.
I've been out here since 01, so I'm officially...
Damn.
Oh, you in LA? Yeah, you LA.
You don't even know no more.
You probably got an avocado wrap in your fucking bag somewhere now, nigga.
That's real, man. I'm out of touch with the underground game. Like, I used to know all the underground comics. You know, because I used to travel from city to city and deal with them. But now, as I've gotten to the point where I'm trying to preserve what I do, I don't like new people around me, especially comics, because it's basically they just soak up the game and try to run with it.
Wow.
So I'm not here to enhance you because you around me this weekend.
Have you seen, is there a particular comic you seen steal some of your stuff? I mean, like, blatantly steal it?
Of course, it's a few of them.
Name them, Corey.
Yeah, I was just gonna
name
say,
names.
Name names.
This dude, I know him by Gary Johnson. But out here, he has got the name G-Thang.
Oh, I know G-Thang.
Yeah, he calls himself the G-Thang out here.
Uh-oh.
California. They call him G-Strang in St. Louis. I'm just saying.
So I heard about what you said. Like, somebody else said that he stole.
David Arnold Hack.
Mm.
What's the big girl name? She got big eyes.
Not Tracy.
Lonnie Love?
No, not Lonnie Love. This girl, she was getting a little play from Tyler Perry for a while. I can't think of her name, but her story.
Is it Coco Love?
Coco Brown.
Yeah, Coco Brown, bro. Yeah.
Coco Brown, and I don't know why she still jokes. Her life is so interesting. She married a dude who was married already. I was like, bitch, you a side wife. you have a unique story.
God damn.
Your son is a, what do you call a baby that come from a marriage where the dude was already married.
God,
that's
damn.
An extra side baby, right?
That's hilarious.
Your baby is a side to side baby.
Damn.
Good Lord.
I would have jokes about that if that was my life. You know what I mean?
Wow.
When you make fun of your life, you beat other people to the punch. It don't even hurt. They know you don't care.
Yeah.
You know who's a new comedian? Tori Hart. You know she's going on tour right now?
Oh, yeah. That's Did you hear about that?
Corey's
I haven't seen Tori perform. She's supposed to be doing my show real soon.
Okay.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I know Tori from Kevin back when they were solid.
Yeah. Yeah.
All her jokes are about Kevin.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. She talk about her life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
She's good, too.
Yeah, she is funny.
She got punchlines.
Yeah, I haven't seen her do a comedy yet. But
I ain't seen it either. But yeah. I know I just ain't had a chance to catch up with her. But coincidentally, I saw her last weekend. I didn't even know it was her.
Oh, damn.
She does look different.
She's short, and she pulled up in this big Cadillac truck like yours.
Yeah, damn.
I was like, wow, this girl riding in a truck. Who is this? And then I was like, she said, hey, Corey. I was like, that's you, Tori. Get out this big ass
she's
truck.
So
I
tiny.
Like that, though.
Man. So you do the 5150 show, man. Wonderful show. How'd you and Darlene hook up?
Man, when I was at the Foxhole.
Yeah.
When they finally decided to give me a show, I didn't know who I was going to do the show with. So this dude named Guy Black.
Guy Black, yeah.
Guy Black, he was suggesting people, and he brought Darlene up there. I didn't know her. So I was scared because whenever I'm around new, I'm honest, whenever I'm around new women,
yeah,
I'm really like, all right, what you going to pull?
Uh-oh, damn. Why? Have you had some incidents before?
I ain't trying to be chauvinistic,
yeah.
But I'm like, why?
Yeah.
It's my life. It's my experience. Like, when I'm around women, when things go bad, they try to act like you did something to them. That's just my opinion. Yeah. That's not all women, of course.
What do you mean try to act like you did something to him?
When it's my opinion that if you have any type of conflict with a woman, they play victim. A lot of them play victim and act like you did something.
You mean like a Me Too victim?
Like physical?
Whatever
physically.
They call that stuff. Oh. I don't know. I don't know what Me Too is.
Oh.
I've heard people say it on TV.
Yeah.
But my experience is, I would say about 90% of the women that you have problems with, they act like you did something to them instead of, hey, we didn't see things the way we couldn't get out of eye on something, so I'm going to go my way, you go yours. That's just my opinion.
Right. I mean, yeah, that is unfortunate. That makes sense.
And it wasn't that way with Darlene. That's why we still around each other, because we didn't have our fallouts, but she don't play victim. That's what I like the most about her.
Yeah, Darlene is hella cool. Darlene is in her book.
She snap up out of it when we have our little issues.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that she wrong. I'm not saying that I'm wrong. But whatever happened, we able to fix it.
Y'all charge it to the game and y'all keep it pushing.
Yeah.
So you were doing a show up at Foxhole. And is the Foxhole station still popping? I heard they're changing.
Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm Kevin.
Damn. Shout out to Kevin. Yeah.
I remember that interview when Jamie Foxx was talking crazy to Kevin.
That was funny.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly. They were snapping on each other.
Yeah. I feel like Jamie Foxx then was being personal.
Yeah. They were getting into some personal
shit.
Now
it's Kevin Station.
That's crazy. That's
crazy. I'm like, oops.
So, man, what happened with you up there, man? Because your show was one of the best shows up there, and it's just like everybody, all the good shit just disappeared off Fox, the Foxhole, and the station just kind of went downhill.
I never would try to compare myself to Jamie Foxx. Jamie Foxx a megastar.
Yeah.
But people was watching my show.
Yeah.
And that, I feel like that caused feelings. Mm. Competition is a word that needs to be a class. A class in college. Teach people how to deal with competition.
Yeah.
Because most people don't know how to deal with competition.
I feel like if you just worry about yourself, then you shouldn't worry about nobody else's. No, like if people just focus on yourself, you shouldn't worry about what the next person
but
is doing.
But if somebody come and they doing exactly what you're doing right next to you and doing it better than you,
that's good for them.
Yeah.
That's just how I am.
Yeah,
I really just focus on myself. Good for them. How can I step my game up?
That's called confidence, what you
right.
have.
Right. Yeah,
how many people
true.
You know are confident people?
They're not.
They're not. I guess they're not. Yeah.
I'm like,
that's
somebody
true.
Comes stand
that's
next
true.
To you and do exactly what you're
yeah,
doing.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't care what they're doing. I'm going to do something else.
That's why you got to prepare people for competition. Yeah. Competition catches some people off guard where they just don't know how to do
nothing.
I like
nothing, a little good competition, as
yeah.
a matter of fact.
Come
yeah.
at you.
It's fun for me.
When you first got in the game, Corey, were there some people that you were looking at like, I'm gonna be in competition with that person. I wanna go to that person's level where there's some people that you work with in the comedy or came up in the comedy game with that you were on a competitive thing with. Because I kind of see you and D-Ray being somewhat competitive. You guys have always been in that same vein, man.
I think D-Ray was probably about 6-7 years behind me.
Okay. Okay.
I remember when D-Ray first went on stage. You know what I mean? So I never had a competition feeling about me. I always would watch what others would do and say, oh, okay, I got to get mine.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I feel good about that.
Yeah.
Because I watch people who watch what other people do and say, I got to get theirs.
Yeah.
Like, what are you worried about theirs for? You go get yours. It actually feels better when it's yours.
No. Your whole approach to the comedy game, because I've seen you at the comedy club many times, and you would just do the opposite of what everybody else was doing.
That's right.
Like, most comedians go in there, they be kissing up to the ladies. All the ladies, you got a job, say yeah. And that's all. Yeah. They're pandering to the ladies. Yeah. All the ladies with good pussy say yeah. And then Corey come up, y'all bitches
like
ain't shit. Y'all rusty bitches ain't shit. And they be shocked,
come
but laughing. First they'll be shocked, then they'll start laughing. So what made you confident enough to go that route?
People are surprised when I answer that question.
Yeah.
One of the first comedians I ever seen talk to women transparently was T.K. Kirkland.
Yeah, yep.
And when he was in Chicago at this comedy club called All Jokes Aside, I mean, he ain't know me. I was a new Jack. I was like, wow, you can say stuff like that? But it was always in my mind to do it.
Yeah.
To speak transparently or learn to speak transparently to women. Because I feel like I was scared to do it because I lost female friends that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I was honest with them. But as I have gotten older and evolved, I talk about wretchedness I see.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people like it.
Yeah.
And it's not just men.
Yeah.
There are women out here who like to hear the truth.
Because they know it's true.
I talk about men too. But I'm saying, like, most of the times when you have the audacity to say something about a woman, you get labeled.
Yeah.
Because I heard Netflix said my special was chauvinistic.
Mm.
I was like, well, you think I'm finna switch it up? You know how much money I make on the road doing this type of act?
Yeah.
And the club is full with beautiful women.
People
want to hear it.
Yeah.
That's why I think I'm going to start calling myself Uncle Corey.
Yeah.
Because I'm that uncle that, you know, oh, Uncle Corey coming over.
Yeah.
I think that'll be a good.
That would be funny.
Yeah.
Did you ever work with, do anything with Patrice O'Neal?
I don't know if we worked together, but we knew each other real good.
Okay.
And Patrice was a beast.
Yeah.
If I ever was bold enough to brag about my Patrice experience, I think one day kicking it with me when Patrice was out here on the West Coast, I opened up some doors in his mind to make him be who he had wrapped up inside. Because, you know what I'm saying? Society makes it where we're scared to say how we really feel.
Yeah.
But I think after he was watching me and kicking it with me for a little while, he was the beast that he was meant to be.
Yeah, he came on out that shell.
I didn't teach him any of his jokes. I'm not claiming that or nothing. Right. But I'm saying, I think after watching me, he was the beast that he was meant to be. Just like when I remember the first time I saw a Farrakhan CD. It blew my mind.
Yeah.
I'd never seen anybody talk like that.
Yeah.
I saw the preachers my mother took me to go see. Talking about all the stuff that couldn't be proven.
You know? Heavy.
No times, no dates. Just, oh yeah, that's what happened. Oh, okay.
Man.
Then I listened to Minister Farrakhan. I was like, this is what I've been talking about.
Exactly.
This is what's been in my head to do. You know what I mean? So that's how that goes.
Man. So going on the road as a comic, man, what's some of the craziest experiences you've had as a comic on the road?
When the promoter tried to rob me.
Oh, no. Like rob you by not giving you your money rob you by like taking money you already had?
He gave me the money.
Yeah.
It was cash, but he had a whole lot of goons around him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, damn.
And then they talked me into going to this after party. But I'm smart.
Yeah.
I'm watching. He gone, but them goons were still there. I was like, I think they finna try to rob me.
Your instincts kicked
I
in.
I think they finna try to rob me. So, being the dude I am, I called the police and I said, this dude just kicked this little white girl in the stomach. So, there's a whole bunch of police up at the club. I snuck off to my hotel. You can't call the police and say somebody robbed you. Call the police. Hey, they just kicked this little white girl in the stomach. She throwing up. They coming.
Hilarious. Man.
Corey, do you do social media?
Yeah, they gonna take that stuff from me. I say what's on my mind. Twitter and threatened to take it away and all the rest of it.
The women always mad at you on Twitter. Corey was calling them brown bear shaped bitches. That shit is hilarious to me.
How about this? How about this? There's two girls in here. I would like to ask their opinion on what I'm about to say right now.
Uh-oh.
So many of the girls who are bitter are brown bear built little bitches. I'm talking about, like, have you seen them? I'm like, one of you again, huh? I know why you mad at, you want to so say dead. Why you mad at me. You mad because they ain't got a prom dress that could help you.
Oh, shit.
You went on prom with family, didn't you?
Man. Man.
Did somebody eat your porridge?
So I'm wondering how you feel about, like, the burst of comedians coming off of social media, because a lot of people have been getting a start through social media in their own videos. So how do you?
It can be lucrative for them, if I say something negative, for a little while, because you know, while you're a social media star, people are interested in you. But after they get their dose of you, if you ain't got a lot of talent to put out there, they get tired of you fast. I done seen people go,
and then right back down.
Don't you think it's a good platform? Because, like, certain people, they don't have any, like, nobody knows who they are, and it's a lot of them that just, like, you're getting your notoriety online, so that's that platform for you. So you don't think it's good to just put yourself out there? You don't have to wait anymore. Remember, like, back in the day, you had to get an agent, you had to go on the road, but now you can just go to social media to kind of get that platform.
That social media can get you out there. And Wildin' Out, the TV show Wildin' Out, is a perfect example of what social media can do, because they basically use the stars from social media.
Yeah, yeah, they do.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they like use them because they ain't got to pay them a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's working for the show, and it's working for them because they get the notoriety.
And speaking of them, you know, you got into it with one, Jess Hilarious.
Yeah.
What was that about? Oh, what was that whole thing about?
I saw a picture of a girl naked with her son in front of her like that, and then I commented on it. I didn't know it was a comedian or an aspiring comedian or whatever. It turned into something bigger than I thought it would be.
Wait, she was naked with a son. What?
You know there's pictures. This whole thing where, you know, girls be taking pictures of naked with their kids. That was like a little thing for
a few
weeks.
And it's usually like, with a smaller baby.
Yeah.
I think the little boy was maybe 2 or 3.
Yeah.
3 or 4.
Yeah.
But it didn't look right for her to be naked with her son like that. So I said something slick about it, and they tried to turn it around. And instead of quoting what I said, they interpreted stuff, and some people even lied.
Oh, wow.
So,
are y'all cool now?
I wouldn't say we cool, because I ain't got no respect for her, because she goes around and does other comedians' jokes.
She
said it. So what if I do somebody else's joke?
I missed that.
It's short-lived success, though.
Wow. Yeah.
It's short-lived. It'll be short-lived. I hope get your money while you can, right, little ratchet girl. Talk crazy about me and her town and all that. Hey, I sell out Baltimore every time I go. Man. Baltimore love me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I love Baltimore. You know?
What cities do you go to now that's really popping for you right now?
Cities with a big urban following, I'm going to do good. Now, especially if you go somewhere like Dallas or whatever. See, they got a middle class. A lot of people don't understand that. But when I go to those cities, it's really great. Where the people work and can afford to pay for a ticket and come out and enjoy themselves. It's not the struggle. Well, some towns, you know, everybody can't just pop up with, I guess it's like an extra $100 for him and his wife to go to the comedy show.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I get it. But people come out and see me, and I really appreciate everybody who will take the time to buy a ticket and come see me.
Yes, absolutely.
A ghetto boy. That's yes. what I call myself.
You were doing the voiceover on the Cleveland show, right?
Oh, yeah, man. I walked in there, man. I didn't know they knew me, man.
Mm. Were you the bear?
You were the bear.
No, I wish I was the bear.
Which one?
I was Cleveland's girlfriend, baby daddy.
Damn! Sure was. I hear it.
Robert. Hey, y'all, I went into the Family Guy office and all that was there. And they was showing me love. I was like, damn. Y'all know me?
Damn.
Just like when I saw Smokey Robinson on the play, he said, Corey Holcomb. I was like, you know me?
That's funny, but my barber was cutting my hair. He was like, man, Peebo Bryson told me to tell you what's up. I'm like, Peebo? No. Peebo fucking Bryson?
How long it take to get that shag perfect like that?
That's hilarious.
No, you know what happened to me recently? So it was this basketball player in Chicago who got killed. His name was Ben Wilson. Okay. Y'all familiar with that?
I am.
Ben Wilson, he was like the number one player in the nation at one time, and he got shot. This all happened in high school by a dude who was around about his age.
Okay.
And, you know, I used to be a basketball player, so it was kind of shocking to the whole basketball athletic community. And I said something about the dude who shot Ben Wilson. I'm not sure what I said, but it probably wasn't nothing positive because I didn't know him. All I know was he murdered...
One
of the popular guys from Chicago on the basketball scene. Mm-hmm. So then my friend told me, hey, that dude who murdered Ben Wilson wanted you to know that, you know, that was a long time ago, and now he's an activist in the community who helps youth do the right thing. Mm. And it was kind of different to know that he heard what I had to say. It was a reminder that Tariq, you know, y'all on these airwaves,
yeah.
People are listening. And I salute the dude for reaching out to me and letting me know it ain't like that. I was a young man when that happened. He was in high school too. You know, what I'm saying?
Did he go to jail for the shit?
Of course.
Yeah.
Nobody ever looked at his
really
side of the
deal.
Story.
Okay.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It was a really big deal in Chicago.
But you know, when he reached out to me, and you know, it was told to me by that other person. He said, I'm haunted by that for the rest of my life. It made me look at it differently.
Yeah, you know right.
So I don't know. I might want to have him on my show to talk to people, because a lot of people are familiar with that.
Yeah.
And a lot of people only know him as the villain. You know what I'm saying? But he was a young man who made a mistake. Somebody lost their life, unfortunately. When people are alive, I learned a lot about the living versus, you know, the ones who passed on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's like, why are they here? We got to deal with them.
Absolutely.
And I ain't got to deal with hate because I don't know you. But let's talk about it.
Now, where in Chicago did you grow up?
I would say mainly the South Side.
The South Side. Okay.
But we lived everywhere in Chicago. My mama got a Section 8. We moved to the North Side. Then I went to the little junior college on the west side of the city. I am Chicago from back then.
All the
side. What high school you go to out there?
I went to Sin High School on the North Side. Thought I was going to go to DuSable because we lived across the street in the projects. It was the worst school ever.
Oh, damn.
My brother came home with his coat burnt.
God damn.
You know, he had a hood.
Yeah.
Some motherfucker burnt his hood while somebody had to tell him, your hood on fire. Real sick.
God damn, Chicago.
A wild
they burning
school.
Niggas up.
DuSable.
Like God
damn.
Wild
yeah.
Lord, they set niggas on fire.
From the project.
Yes.
What? Damn. Damn.
You from near there, Bree? She's from Chicago,
I'm not from
too.
The projects.
Oh, I don't know.
But she's from Chicago, too,
what
Corey.
What part of town?
The South Side. I'm from 79th off of Ashland.
Did you set the fire on his jacket?
No, I ain't set no fires. I was a good girl. I went to Limbo.
Man, that little gangbanging neighborhood she talked about.
Yeah, it was. Yes. My neighborhood was called Killer Ward.
This is a gangster disciple right here. Don't let her tell you nothing different.
She got a whole nother life in Chicago, huh?
So, Corey, how did you sidestep all the street shit happening around you in Chicago as a youth, man?
Look. All everybody who lives in the hood, whether you're in the gang or not, you are around all of that.
Yeah.
So you got to hope you make it through without catching a stray bullet.
Yeah.
Yep.
Doing something stupid like the brother who shot Ben Wilson did. You get what I'm saying? It's like all over the nation, Because I'm here to tell you, I travel all over the country. America is hood as fuck.
Yes, it is.
Miami, one of the most hoodest cities ever. All you know about is the good part. But once you leave that beach, drama.
Yeah.
You make it out by luck.
Yeah, man.
I'd have been standing outside. Well, one day I was going to the store for my mother.
Yeah.
And the police was chasing these dudes in the building. I had to run. Because if they grab me, they going to say you was with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I remember when I ran up in the building and the police was on our ass. I didn't do nothing. I just was in the herd.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's luck.
Damn. Yeah. Yeah,
you yeah, I'd have been shot at barbecues in Chicago.
God damn.
How about that?
I mean, they weren't shooting at me, but shit. It's you bullets flying. Yeah.
The bullet don't have a map quest.
Jump in the car to hide. Yeah. Right.
Won't pass you as you
it's
die.
It's literally
like my
luck.
Fault.
Yeah.
It's luck, man.
Man. So when you moved out to L.A., you moved out here permanently, what, 2001?
Yeah.
And was it a culture shock for you?
Well, it's different. It's a lot different than Chicago.
Yeah.
Than it is out here. But I knew I was not going to leave because I got success fast out here. This is where things are happening. New York and L.A.
Yeah.
And now Atlanta, where television opportunities, movie opportunities are happening.
Yeah.
In this game, some people say that all you gotta do is that, but you don't never know what's gonna blow you up. But if you good, hang in there because you go from zero to hero in this entertainment business
Absolutely.
In a minute.
Absolutely. Have you ever done some stuff with Tyler Perry?
Yeah, I went out there and you know, Tyler Perry, he kind of remind me of you. He a big dude.
I tell him all the time.
When you walk up on Tyler Perry, you realize, this ain't no little bitty.
Yeah.
This ain't no little bitty motherfucker.
You big motherfucker, yeah.
But he called me in the office, and he was telling me about how they was on vacation somewhere, and they played that Shaq All-Star. And he was like, boy, you had everybody in there laughing. So I was like, wow. That's what I'm saying. What you do out here in this game,
people watch
means something.
Yeah.
So he put me on a couple of his shows, and he's put me in movies, and I appreciate Tyler
Perry.
Which
one of the movies were you in? Because I remember seeing you in one. I can't even think of one. Which one it was.
All I know is the latest one was that first Halloween movie he did, Boo, even though it was a small scene.
Yeah.
But see, Tyler Perry got that movie thing down pack. I think he shot that movie in less than a week.
Oh, damn. Hey, I believe that.
He have his production people out there, his thing be like, you get off the bus, you go in there, you get dressed, do you see? It's a sincere thank you because he come out and he greet everybody.
Oh, damn. You know, they shot some of the Black Panther down there at his studio.
Hey, he got that.
Yeah,
they did. Oh, yeah. Atlanta's
Wakanda.
Yeah. He got that big old army
your ass
base.
Ain't seen the movie yet.
Yes, I did see it. I seen it now.
I saw Black Panther.
I went.
You saw Black Panther, Corey?
Yeah, I saw
How'd you like it?
I liked it. I'm just always happy to see some positive that we in. I know the studio getting all the money, but
yeah.
I feel like they wasn't trying to make us look stupid like Precious.
Yeah.
Because Monique said in that interview, she said to Charlamagne the God, you know that dude on Birth of a Nation that took his wife to the slave master?
Yeah.
That's you. She said that about him.
What did y'all mean about that, though? Yeah. I seen that.
Well, in that movie, like this black dude took his wife to the slave master because the slave master requested her and all like that.
Okay.
Right.
But I want to do Monique realize you was the worst black parent ever in a movie.
That was really you.
That wasn't nobody acting but you.
Wow.
You did that.
That is so true.
You did it so good they gave you an award for it.
Man.
Did you guys hear Tyler Perry's building an organic farm? Did you guys hear about that?
I haven't heard about that. Is it down in Atlanta? Or
yeah, he's going to be like 35,000 acres, and he's building a farm. He's going to have cows. He's going
to
have...
He need to build an island and take all the black people to the
farm. I know.
It don't shock me. I mean, like, you know, people always got something to say about you no matter what you do, but I saw a lot of productive stuff that the brother doing, and people who complain about pay, people who complain about whatever, I always say, what are you doing?
Yeah, absolutely.
What are you doing now? Because, okay, he's still doing this. you know, what are you doing?
Exactly. Man, but Corey, man, it's been real having you here, man. Where can people find you, brother?
Like I say, that little social media stuff, while it's still up, they gonna take it. Yeah. They're going to take me down. But man, it's the Corey Holcomb. But the main way to catch up with me is the 5150 show. Just Google Corey Holcomb 5150 show and let the adventure begin. I'm proud of all of the episodes.
Yes, indeed.
We talk crazy. We go in there. We have fun. Just like we're doing right here.
Oh, yeah. What nights do y'all tape? Y'all tape Tuesday night, right?
Tuesday night, yeah. Do it tonight at 8.
Who y'all going to have on tonight?
You know, what's been happening, I've been bold enough to try to allow other comedians to come on.
Yeah.
Because after the Aries thing, it kind of interfered with stuff. Like, I was talking to Sinbad on the plane, and he was like,
okay. Yeah.
Not like he wasn't, you know, Sinbad ain't really, he ain't no punk at all.
No, he's a big dude, too. Yeah. Big, but crazy light skinned nigga. Them light skinned niggas don't sleep on them.
But the drama was going on at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I ain't never sued nobody, but I was thinking about putting a lawsuit on Aries for bringing that drama up there. He came up there. I think the word is inebriated. Is that drunk?
Yeah.
Drunk to the motherfucker. You know, drama jumped off from that. So,
yeah.
About to put this pay this money thing on him.
Oh, damn. So I hope that works itself out, because I hate to see stuff like that go to the authorities.
I'm going to go up to one of them interviews he do, like he did with...
with Crispy.
No, with the brother...
Crispy? We call him
Crispy. Oh, Crispy. That's what you was calling him.
Yeah, we call him Crispy.
Yeah, I used to have like a little beef with him too, but I try to squash stuff when I can.
Yeah.
I can. You know what I mean?
When I can. That don't sound like you do it a lot.
But I try.
When I can.
Sometimes you just, you know, sometimes you got to take it there with niggas, man.
Yeah, I saw you do it.
You did?
But it was funny.
Yeah.
I'm glad it didn't turn into no physical altercation, because... Man, you might not claim being a stand-up comedian, but you funny with your stuff you do, man. Keep being creative like that.
No doubt.
It's kind of harmless.
Yeah. That's what I try. Yeah, I try to make everything lighthearted, you know.
Yeah, he be trying to get a pass. That's why he try to keep his shit under wraps.
Everything you do where it's real, what's up, do it when ain't nobody looking. I tell people, you should keep a ski mask in your car. Keep a ski mask in the car. Ski masks fix so many problems that come after you do what you do.
Man.
Now,
have you ever been in a situation where you had to get on some real street shit and your freedom was in jeopardy, Corey?
And whip out a ski mask.
And I thank God nothing has ever happened that made me do something where them people can try to put me in a cage.
Yeah.
Nothing has ever happened where I lost it like that. You know, that's another class I think we should take besides the competition class.
Yeah.
The class to try to do what you do while you calm.
Yeah.
Because when you do it while you fired up, it just be some emotional stuff to get you locked up.
Yeah.
Calm down and get your enemy. Don't be mad and hit your enemy. Calm down and get him.
Yeah. You gotta be strategic with
get
that.
Get him. Yeah. Wage no more.
Yes, indeed. Man. But yeah, y'all check out my man Corey on Twitter. You on Instagram too? You got a gram?
Yeah, the Corey Holcomb on Twitter and Instagram, even though I really don't mess with the Instagram.
You don't.
I talk crazy on Twitter. I'm backwards.
Yeah.
I got to start getting on the Instagram.
I do Instagram, Twitter. I don't do Snapchat. Snapchat, I don't get it.
Nobody's really doing that as much anymore.
You got a Snapchat, Layla?
I do, but I don't use it. Yeah. I don't use it,
I use mine, but that's for me. Don't know what I'm looking.
I want to say to all of the single moms that's listening to this and they don't like what I said, I want you to know that it's your fault.
They ain't going to say, go ahead.
Man, anyway, we're about to be up out of here. Layla, where can we find you, beloved?
IG, Miss Layla Lopez, MSLAILALOPZ.
And Bree, where can we find you?
It's Bree Small, ITSBRISMALL.
Have I met y'all before this?
You look so familiar, dog.
Have you?
You look familiar.
Probably. You look super familiar.
Come on, where I know y'all from?
I did a lot of comedy. Were you doing like comedy tours, like colleges and stuff back in the day?
I did a couple of colleges.
Yeah, but that's
where
all.
Where I know y'all from?
You know, that's it.
Y'all ever work on Backpage?
Hell no.
I'm joking with you.
Lord.
I'm joking.
All right.
Don't forget, family, man. Look, we got the Indiegogo campaign going on. We're doing the Ism Radio Travel Reality Show. We're going around the country. You guys are going to get to meet these two lovely young ladies We're going to be out there doing our thing. We're going to be profiling different black businesses around the country while doing our reality show. I know we're going to New Orleans. We're going to go to Chicago. We're going to go to Atlanta, possibly Washington, D.C., New York. So we're going to be all over the place, and we want to get you involved. There's a link right below us at Indiegogo. Type in Ism Radio Reality Show, and you guys be a part of that Indiegogo campaign. And get involved. And y'all follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite. Follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. And we are out of here, fam. We'll see y'all next week.
Bye. Keep being the Black CNN.
Thanks for the shirt.
Man.
Yes, indeed.
Black CNN.
Yes, yes.
Black CNN.
Man, good deal. Cool. Good.